You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Colt at the River.
When you look at the particular word thanksgiving in Scripture, it's where we get the word Eucharist. And it's a very unique word because it means that you're not just being polite when you say thank you. It also infers the fact that you have become a beneficiary of some blessing in your life. And if you've accepted Christ, you are truly have been blessed. And one of the things we're going to do tonight is I want to get into your hearts, if you're a believer tonight, that God has exceptionally blessed you. Because Thanksgiving works that way. If you believe you're a little bit blessed, your Thanksgiving level will be about there. But if you believe you're exceptionally blessed, then your Thanksgiving level will be up here. In other words, it follows what you believe. And there's a lot of Christians, even though they're going to heaven, they don't believe they're exceptionally blessed. But I'm telling you tonight that you are. And when you get that, you're going to have this attitude of gratitude with God that will not only strengthen your faith, it'll set you up for more exceptional blessings in your life. Remember the story in the Bible of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus, and Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, and they all went and were healed as they went. And one came back, a Samaritan. Now, Samaritan is a lot like us because we're Gentiles. Didn't have a covenant with God, didn't have the benefits of God, but he was healed. He came back and thanked the Lord, and the Lord said, your faith has saved you. And the word for saved there is not the word typically used for healing. In other words, his faith had added not just healing to his body, but spiritually he was saved that day because he knew he was exceptionally blessed for him to get healed along with other people who had a covenant relationship with God. And so tonight I want you to beat that into your spirit. Next time you get down, discouraged, look in the mirror and say, I'm exceptionally blessed. I'm exceptionally talented. I'm exceptionally gifted, praise God. Because once you start believing that, your faith will reach higher and you're going to be one of those movers and shakers. Amen. And you're going to find your life transforming people rather than you being transformed by other people. Amen. But let's take a look at this in Scripture. Look with me to Psalms chapter 100. And I want you to look at this psalm because to me, this is the foundation of praise and worship. And I want you to notice what it says. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now, this is really a powerful set of verses. Let me tell you why. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle was set up in a triangle. It was a fence around it with a triangle, a long triangle. And on one end of it, you had the tent of meeting where the holy place was and the Shekinah glory, the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat was. But then before you could get to that place, there was an entrance on the east side of it. One entrance, only one. And you had to go through that and then offer an offering on the brazen altar. And then you go a little bit farther and there was a laven that you would wash, the cleansing of the word. And then you stepped into the tent of meeting to the holy place and fellowshiped with God. And then those who were like priests could go into the holies of holies where the presence of God was. Now here's the point I want you to see. The entrance was called the gate of thanksgiving. Now, you know I'm a praiser. You know I'm a worshiper. But I've learned this many years ago by revelation, that you can't get into praise until you have the foundation of thanksgiving. And you can't get into worship without the foundation of praise. In other words, it's threefold. Only the thankful heart can praise God. Only the thankful person can praise God. And only a person who's praising God can go from the anointing to the presence of God. And there is a difference. It's hard to preach it, but there is a difference between the presence of God and the anointing. It's a threefold experience, but it starts with the foundation of thanksgiving. Say thanksgiving. Now watch this. Then worship is from the overflow of praise, and praise is from the overflow of thanksgiving. And the devil wants you to think that you're not talented. The devil wants you to think that you're not exceptionally blessed. But the scriptures tell us differently, that we've received every spiritual blessing. We are seated in heavenly places. We are blessed beyond measure. As you begin to believe that and then express that thanksgiving, the thanksgiving itself will bring you into a place where it strengthens your faith. You remember in the book of Romans chapter 4, I believe it is verse 18 and 19, it talks about Abraham, how he was fully persuaded, and it says that he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God or giving thanks to God. It strengthened his faith. If there's any day that we live in right now, we need to have strong faith. And we need to have an attitude of gratitude. You look at the news and everybody else, there's such a lack of thankfulness in our society. But as a Christian, we are exceptionally blessed. And it's got nothing to do with how many cars you have or how big your house is. You're exceptionally blessed with spiritual blessings. You are created in the image of God, and that image has the ability to reign and to rejoice. We should have a joy level that supersedes the world. We're not just happy, we have joy. That means we have joy in difficult situations as well as hard situations, or vice versa. Now, what I want you to see is this. In the text, it says that you got to enter his gates with thanksgiving. I like this. Here's a part the text doesn't say that's true. You never went through that gate without a sacrifice. There was always a lamb or a dove or a pigeon or an ox or a sheep. In other words, you never went through that gate of thanksgiving without sacrifice. Jesus is our sacrifice. We never even start to thank God until we thank him that Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He died for our sins. He put himself on that cross for us. And we enter with great thanksgiving, praise God, great thanksgiving, because of the sacrifice that he did for it. And because of that, we are extremely blessed. You're not extremely blessed because of how you look or how much money you got. You're extremely blessed because Jesus has provided everything that you may need in life, everything that you might need in the future. You are extremely blessed. Now, this is different than the world's idea of thanksgiving. The world is thankful by comparison. And the world will tell you this, listen, if you're having a hard time, whatever, and you're feeling ungrateful, just compare yourself to someone else. There's always someone that has it worse than you have. You're complaining about your leg aches and just go, well, at least I got a leg. I know people that don't have a leg. And that's how they try to do it, by comparison. We don't do it by comparison, because God is no respecter of persons. And he's blessed you with a healing, a blessing. He's blessed you with breakthrough blessings. He's blessed you with the blessing to be able to access God. There is no respecter. And you don't do it because of comparison, because God loves everyone the same. And hallelujah. So there is a difference with a Christian. Now, I want you to look at this verse. We could quote it, but I want you to see it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Not just on Easter. Not just when you just got a raise. Always. Pray without ceasing. That's significant. We always pass over that. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, first of all, I want to say this about the text. He's not saying that you're to give thanks for the lack in your life. Or you're not to give thanks because you're on medication because of depression. Or you're not to give thanks because the doctor says you have stage 2 cancer. Or it's not saying give thanks because, you know, you wrecked your car. It's talking about giving thanks in the problem. Remember this, remember this. God will always give us a way of escape. No doubt about it, there's a way of escape. So whatever problem we go on, we can give thanks. Lord, thank you. You said that you'd give me a way of escape. You said in your word, Father, that you'd deliver me. You said in your word that you'd help me get through these hard places. And so we can always give thanks because we got a creator that will in fact help us and bless us because of his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. So we give thanks in that sense in every situation in our lives. And it makes a difference. Now, here's something that's unique about this. In the same way that there was a threefold level going to the tabernacle, thanksgiving, court of praise, worship in the holies of holies, just like there were three things, there are three aspects of thanksgiving. The first one is, where you go to God and you, his word is alive in your heart, and you say, Lord, I've got this problem, and you look and God reveals his will to you in the word, and then you spiritually receive it. And you say, Lord, I got it. Thank you, Lord. I receive my answer to my prayer right then. That's the first level of thanksgiving. And then the second level is there's an expectation that the blessing's coming. I know that I'm struggling right now, but I believe God's prayed. I prayed about it. I'm thanking God he's heard me. And I'm thanking God it's coming. It's coming. My blessing's coming. The blessing's coming in manifestation. The blessing's coming. Did you ever notice that Abraham, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, before Sarah was conceived a baby? 3 months before, he was impotent. She would, when it passed menopause, couldn't have a child, but God spoke to him. At that moment, he began to give glory to God. At that moment, before he became awakened physically, and before his wife conceived, he thanked God. So I imagine for 3 months he's going, well, baby, get ready. We're going to build a nursery here. You're going to do just great. So that second level. And then the third level is when it actually happens. The day she comes and says, I'm pregnant. Woo! And that baby's delivered. Joy made full. So there's three levels. There's the thankfulness you get when you believe you receive. The thankfulness you get when you're expecting it to come, the thankfulness that you release when it actually manifests, when your joy is made full. I told my wife that for years in ministry. I said, our boat is coming in. She said, I think I could just see the smokestack. If I could just see smoke coming up. She sees smoke now, praise God. It's arrived several times. Can you say amen? But there's a thankfulness that is attached to it that Christians need to grab hold of. Let me give you another example. This kind of dates me. But how many remember the department stores years ago where they had what they called will call? So you'd go in there. In fact, it's not a bad idea to do it now with all the thievery going on. But they would take and put items on the shelf, and they'd tie a little chain next to it so you couldn't take it. And there'd be those items. And if you wanted that item, there was a piece of paper there, or several of them, and you ripped it off, and you took that paper with a number, and you went to the cashier, and you paid for the item. Remember that? And then they gave you another slip and said, either drive around the back of the department store, pick it up, especially if it's furniture, or a lot of times you would go inside the department store in the back with that card, and you'd give it to them, and they would take it and say, I'll be right back. And they would go into their warehouse and grab your item and bring it back. Woo-hoo. Now, here's the great thing. Your faith is like money. It's like currency in heaven. You go to God and say, Lord, I like that item. I like that. Your word says I can have it. You believe you receive it, and you take it up to the cashier, and you buy it by faith. And you get your little slip, and you go back to Will Call, and the guy says, I'll go back and get him. I take a few minutes. It's way up at the top shelf up there, but I'm coming. Or you drive your car around the back to bring out that furniture. Come on, are you getting a hold of this? There's a constant attitude of thanksgiving when you get. It's like going to a really great restaurant. Once you know you've ordered your thing, you're excited. You know they've put it in the computer. It's coming out, man. It's coming. They're cooking it. Man, you know it's coming. You're getting excited. Your wife's getting excited because she hasn't taken it out for dinner for at least 2 months. She's, come on. But it's a thankfulness that is built into you. Did you know your best days are yet to come? I wanted you to say that my best days are yet to come. I'm so highly blessed, I'm going to blow everybody away. Come on, you're highly blessed. You're highly blessed, you're highly favored, you're highly touched by God, and God has a special blessing on you to restore you in your life and your youth and your strength and all that, hallelujah. But you got to believe it. You got to believe that you're highly blessed and highly favored in that. Now, let me bring you into an area here that I think will help you in this area a little bit. One of the things that, the reason why I love God the way I do is because he initiated everything. I still to this day don't know why he called me. I didn't earn it, I didn't deserve it or anything else. But the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. But here's something people miss. Once you get saved, it's your job to keep the ball rolling. In other words, it's your job to keep God moving in our world that we live in. It's your job to keep God moving in your family. It's your job to keep God moving in your career. It's your job to do that. And I was saved, not because I earned it, but there was a woman by the name of Joyce, my sweet wife, who prayed for me. Prayed that I'd get a job and get saved, and I got both. Say amen. Now, I know my mom was praying too, but what if they hadn't prayed? I said, what if they hadn't prayed? Remember it said, pray without ceasing. People are sitting around waiting for revival to come, where revival is sitting in between you. Revival's inside of you. Your faith is what creates revival. Your faith, in fact, your faith is so powerful that Peter said that you can hasten the Lord's return. Think about that. We can get Jesus to come back sooner rather than later if we would use our faith. We don't need to wait for revival. We need to revive ourselves and pray for loved ones to get saved. Pray that God would open their eyes, because you can't get saved unless he draws you. And he can't draw you unless he's moving on you. And he won't move on you. And now he initiated everything from the beginning. But once the ball started rolling, then he said, okay, now it's time for you to get in there. And I want you to do some pushing on that ball. I want you to push the ball down a little bit farther and farther and farther. I want you to reach that neighborhood, that person, that relative, that lost cause. You keep praying for it and keep thanking me that I hurt you. Oh, glory to God. Now you can understand then why we have such negative people in the church. It's because they're not praying in faith for anything. Once you pray in faith for everything, your thanksgiving pops up. You got something to be grateful for. Hallelujah. And you can pinpoint it right on your prayer chart. This is what I prayed for. This is what I'm believing for. And you're expecting it to come. And there's an attitude of gratitude that happens to you in your heart. And that thanksgiving causes your faith to be strong in that until it manifests in your life. But the devil wants you to give up and get defeated and lose that attitude of gratitude and be ungrateful. And then doubt comes in and he'll steal the blessing from you. He wants you to be blessed. Listen. I'm not doing this for my health. I'm doing this for your wealth. Come on, say amen. I want you blessed. But it's not going to happen if we don't jump in and keep the ball rolling. Now, there's two incidences in Scripture that I want to mention here that's important, so you don't get confused. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. John makes this statement, which is really powerful. He says, little children, it is the last hour. And he says, you know the Antichrist is going to come. And many Antichrists have come. By this we know it is the last hour. Now let me define to you what an Antichrist is. An Antichrist is someone that preaches not necessarily against Christ, but instead of Christ. That's what anti means. In other words, the individual preaches everything but Jesus. That's where all the cults come from. Then John says this. They came out from us, but they were not never of us. If they would have been with us, they would have remained with us. But since they went out, it proves or demonstrates that none of them were of us. Now he's talking about people that were in church that left church, not backsliders, people that were in church and they're not in church anymore. They left. And now they got involved with some cult or whatever. John says those guys were never born again. They never had the real deal. They came maybe because a loved one was at the church. Or maybe they went because they had friends that went to the church. Or maybe they went to church simply because it was a habit when they grew up. And he draws a distinction with those. That they don't know God at all, never known God. Scriptures talk about that. I would say it this, they had a false start. They should have had a good start, but they had a false start. Someone would say, well, maybe that's what it means if Jesus is not Lord of all your life, he's not Lord of any of your life. I don't know if I go that far, but there was a bad first start. It was a false start. Never really got it. But there's another group of people that I want to mention to you because this group of people were rolling the ball for a while and then they were overtaken. They were, how do I say it? They were encumbrance. They were enabled or disabled by the things of the world, and they fell away. Peter talks about it, 1 Peter 2. He says, and if it is after, he said, those who had escaped the corruption in the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And then he makes this statement about that. He says, if you get entangled and overcome by the same things you had before you came to Christ, he says your latter condition will be far worse than your beginning. And then he makes this terrifying statement. He says it would have been better if you had not even known the way of salvation than to have known the way of salvation and turn away from the commandments of God. But then he goes on and he says, well, this happened because of the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, or a sow to wiling in the mire. And what I want to say at this point is this. These people were rolling the ball for a long time in the church. But then they got entangled and overcome, And he says, there are last days worse than it was in the beginning. Now, you know what that means? That means their spiritual condition, that means they die spiritually again. But this time it's called the second death. Or let me say it this way. Jude calls it the second death. John calls it the sin unto death. And the bad thing about it is, if you die spiritually twice, you're dead. You've experienced the second death in this life, and there's no hope for you. So why are you preaching on Thanksgiving? Because you got to keep the ball moving. Don't take some things I teach and just blow it out of proportion. You got to keep the ball rolling. You got to say to yourself, I'm going to stay thankful. I'm going to keep believing God. I'm not going to allow myself to get entangled. I'm not going to allow myself to get overcome by the things that overcame me before I came to Christ. I'm going to stay strong in the faith. I'm going to give praise to God. I'm going to enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise and worship. And I'm not pulling back at all. Now, granted, that something like that doesn't happen to a lot of people, but I wanted you to see the two types. There's the guy that was in church, not in church, but he never got saved when he was in church. But then there are those that were in the church that are saved. And you know some of them. Some of you are going to go out and eat Thanksgiving dinner with. You're going to sit there with Uncle Bob. You know, Uncle Bob used to go to church with you. Uncle Bob used to speak in tongues. Uncle Bob used to do that. And what I want you to do is start rolling that ball. I want you to lay your hands on Uncle Bob after you've prayed in the Spirit, and to lay your hands on Uncle Bob and say, God's not finished with you. He's not finished with, praise God, because we don't want Uncle Bob to miss it. But it's going to stir up, I think, inside of you this spirit of thanksgiving that, Lord, you've given these promises to us. We can stand in faith. And I can be thankful in every situation. I can count it joy, whatever I go through, because there's always your word. There's always a promise. There's always your ability to help me to get through the problem that I'm going through. And man, when you do that, joy starts festering and growing in your life. And here's the key right here. Are you ready? You cannot afford to quit believing in who you are in Christ, the new man. Notice I didn't say believe in yourself, because your old self is gone. The new man, you have to believe in the new man. You got to believe the new man in Christ Jesus can leap a building with a single leap. Come on. The new man is an overcomer. The new man is more than a conqueror. The new man is extremely blessed. The new man sits in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. It's no longer you. Forget about your record. Forget about your track record. Who are you now in Christ? Focus in on who you are right now with Christ. And keep believing in what he can do in your life. Hallelujah. Now let me wind this down with one more verse. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This is going to be hard. Are you ready? But if you stay thankful, you can do it. I said it's going to be hard, but if you stay thankful, you can get it. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known before God. Wow. I'm not to worry about anything. You know, you always worry about the things that you love. You always worry about the wife that you love, the husband that you love, the children that you love, the friends that you love. You always are tempted to worry about the people that you love. But when he gives that first statement and says, be anxious for nothing, then he gives you the solution. He says, all right, I don't want you to worry about anything. Here's the solution. everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You listen, you don't thank someone unless you receive something. You don't thank someone out of nothing. You don't thank someone unless you're just being polite, unless you receive something beneficial to you. He says, I want you to overcome the worry first by believing my word in the word of God. So, and with thanksgiving, that means you received it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, I received it. So that your petition might be made known to me or God. In other words, it's not made known to God until you thank God for what you're about to receive. Come on. I got it. That's the kind of faith. Now, to give you an example of this idea of worry, I'll show you why it's so important that you believe what God's word says and you receive it spiritually. Spiritual reception is what I'm talking about. Spiritually receiving something before it's physical. I have this little dog. Her name is Gracie. She is the smartest and the most dog I've ever had in my life. I house trained her in 3 days, or maybe even two. Extremely smart, intelligent, and I am the alpha, and she loves me. Well, when we go on vacation, I worry about her because I love my little dog. So what I do is we hire one of the sweet ladies in the church to watch my dog and feed my fish. That's what they do. And so when we're on vacation, I don't worry about anything because I've entrusted my sweet little dog to a reliable person. And they're going to make sure that everything's fine. That's how you cast your cares upon the Lord. When you pray in faith for something, God says, okay, I'll handle it now. You've received in faith what you're believing for, so I'll handle the rest. And you put it in God's hands to bring to pass whatever it is that you've believed that you receive.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the river, and we're doing life together.